Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We are talking some not so good news if you're in medical aid. Let's get Lesego Gampe on the line. Lesego, a very good evening. Please deliver that bad news for us.
I wish I was the bearer of good news, but yeah. as you say, it's not such a good one. But good evening to you, Sinanjabula, and good evening to the Kai FM audience. It's a pleasure to join you on behalf of ASI because we are here to talk about the rising cost of medical cover, but most importantly, how to plan effectively around and making sure that you've got a plan for 2026 so you're not going in blindly.
Okay. Where do we start?
I think for me, what I wanted to the problem statement is medical inflation in South Africa has constantly outpaced headline inflation. While general inflation hovers around 5 to 6%, medical inflation is between 8 and 12% yearly. This gap is driven by primarily some of the things like chronic medication, aging member base, the adoption of advanced technologies. So, for example, over the last 5 years, spending on high-cost medicines for diabetes and cancer has grown and doubled in double digits, nearly to 11% per annum. And specialist consultations, you will see that every time you go visit your specialist, you are now paying about 8% more than what you were paying last year. So these are some of the primary reasons that are driving the cost of healthcare in South Africa.
And so we are getting hammered, it seems, from all angles, because if that medical inflation is going up more than normal inflation, we're also seeing that with so much food, power, the list goes on. What do we do?
Yeah. So, I mean, just to give you, to keep it in perspective, so indicators show that medical schemes are preparing for increases of about, for 2026, typically in that region of about 8% and 12%, depending on obviously the scheme's claims profile and its reserves. And not, another thing to consider, average contributions increases across open medical schemes will be about 9.5% for 2026, will likely be in the same band as it was in 2025. So what do we do around that? I mean, the scary data around that is the fact that if you're a family of four, about 3 years ago, you were paying about 6,500 in contributions for a mid-tier option. You're currently paying about 8,000 for that. This was 3 years ago. So these things are going up. And employers are also getting hammered at the same time. So what do we do in terms of trying to level the playing fields and making sure that, people at least get something out of this? The biggest concern is that what we are seeing is when things are going up, the first thing people do is they cancel their medical aid. And that is a big no-no. So from our side, we'll say you need to be going through and doing your annual reviews, whether from an employer perspective or from a household perspective, where you sit with advisors that will take you through the process of looking whether your health and financial needs still match what the increases are. Because at the same time, if you do cancel, some of the things that will hit, or you'll be hit with, is things like your late joiner penalties and your waiting periods. And you never want to find yourself in that situation, because when you need the medical scheme and you're now trying to come back, it will be difficult for you to claim. So rather speak to an advisor, make sure that advisor gives you, access to doing your needs analysis, to making sure that you're on the right option and you're getting the correct benefits.
Yeah. It's not easy to, if we're looking at those figures and you're speaking about those rates that are coming, to constantly have to trim more fat off the budget or tighten the belt, as that cliched expression is. And some people say there's no more notches on the belt to tighten. And so if you're in that situation, what happens next? I know that some companies now are offering, it's not quite medical aid, but it's some kind of medical insurance, and people are thinking about going there because they can no longer afford the medical aid that we're speaking about.
That's so true. So there are options available out there. Within the medical scheme environment, you'd be advised to look at maybe a downgrade and top it up with something like gap cover. Because you also, when you downgrade, you don't want a situation where you have shortfalls at any given point. But you're right, medical insurance is playing a big role in South Africa, where people are saying, I cannot, look at whether I'm paying for school fees and putting food on the table and also competing with paying for medical aid. So options like medical insurance are becoming important. And not only from a basis that of affordability, but it also helps you with putting money aside and start saving. Yes. Because what you are paying to a medical scheme is a fraction what you would be paying towards medical insurance.
All right. And so as an employer listening, when you see what's coming, you can see the increases, actuaries and more saying that actually it could be more than this 5% or 4.4%, could be around 10% even. What do you do as an employer that wants to ensure that the people who work with and for you are covered and protected?
Yeah, and I mean, the reality, you're right, employers are also under pressure. Health benefits remain one of the top three employment costs after salaries and retirement funding. Mm-hmm. So for many corporates, and medical aid contribution represents roughly about 7 to 12% of their total payroll. So health benefits should be seen as an integral part of that. And, wellness strategy and form the entire wellness strategy. Because remember, one thing the employers are facing is that healthy employees mean fewer sick days and a productive environment. And if you have an unhealthy workforce, you're actually going to feel it from your pocket. So what employers should be looking at doing is that they should be reviewing their overall health strategy at least on a 3-year annual basis. You do it annually, but have a 3-year strategy in terms of how to do it. It's important that your companies like ASI sit down with you and look at where you are, what is your budget, what are your driving costs within your environment. You may find that you are young, your employer is full of young people, and you don't need to be spending so much on high options, and you can afford to take them through to medical insurance options or downgraded options, so that it is also cheaper from an employer perspective to be able to subsidize for medical cover. And the reality is that in South Africa, we've seen a trend where employers are moving away from actually subsidizing any medical cover, because it's honestly unaffordable for them, and everything is being pushed to cost to company on employees.
So we were just having a conversation with Professor Renata Skuman before we spoke to you, and we were talking about workplace culture. And one of the things that came out of there is that it's not just about your work, right? And so health is not just, okay, make sure this person doesn't get sick. It's also mental health. It's also creating an environment where a person goes to work and feels nurtured or valued. Maybe nurtured is a bit strong, but they go to work and they don't feel bad when they leave. Because of your doing. And so do employers and companies need to think beyond, let's make sure people don't get sick and make sure they've got medical cover, to let's make sure we've got an environment where, even in terms of how it looks, how people interact with each other, the work culture that's not necessarily medical but does impact on the health of employers is taken into account?
I mean, you're raising a very important point. 20 years ago, when we spoke about health within the employment sector, we spoke exactly about medical aid, and that was about it. But now employers are becoming very aware of situations that are affecting their work base. So you are bringing in things like mental wellness into that space. And there are programs that employers are creating through companies that offer mental wellness programs, and to ensure that not only are you just, you're not worried about the cost of healthcare, but also you from a financial perspective, because some of these things, when you're not affording as an employee, not affording to pay for medical aid, not affording to make ends meet for your family, you are going to affect the employer from a perspective of you not delivering at work. So mental wellness is now part of a big holistic program when you speak about healthcare in the employment sector. And employers are starting to look at that to say, maybe let's tackle this. Yes, there are things like chronic conditions that we need to deal with, diabetes and conditions like that. Mm. But also, let's make sure from a mental wellness program, we have a solid mental wellness program that also will benefit the employees and go hand in hand with whatever medical aid options or medical insurance that are there within the company space.
Yeah. We spent a large part of our first conversation, Lesotho, speaking about those increases that are to come. What's also going to happen if we are seeing those double-digit increases that are set to come is more and more people will say, actually, I don't feel like I want to pay this. It is above inflation. I don't want to be paying what I feel are astronomical costs for my medical aid, and I'm going to leave. I brought this up earlier on. Discovery saying that from last year, June, they've seen a 0.1% drop in the amount of people who are signing up to their medical aid or joining their medical aid, or people are leaving their medical aid, and part of the reason is affordability. And so there also needs to be, from the side of the medical aids, an understanding that you can't keep on just increasing prices, because most people, if they have the ability to have medical aid, do want it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you're speaking about there is not only from a medical aid perspective, so including medical providers, health providers, they need to understand that everything, you know, affects ultimately if members cannot afford because of new medical technology, because of the rising cost of chronic conditions that the medical scheme has to consider. Remember, medical schemes are not for profit, so whatever we're putting in, think of it as a stock fund. Whatever we putting into a medical scheme is used to pay for medical claims. Yes, the administration company will make a bit of profit, but the medical schemes itself, it's for members and it's owned by members. However, the first thing that we do is that if affordability is an issue for me, yes, definitely people start dropping. And then it's got a ripple effect, because it not only affects medical schemes, but it will also affect providers of services, because they will now have a smaller base to actually look at. Hence, the government has been speaking about how do we incorporate national health insurance into making sure that even the poor of the poorest and everyone has equitable coverage when it comes to healthcare in South Africa.
All right. And then as we're wrapping up, you say that you use data to go to employers and say, look, let's balance these things. Let's give people cost. Let's make sure that there's value. Make sure that you can make informed decisions. Just tell us a bit about that as we wrap up.
Yeah. So data comes primarily from, you know, the employee perspective in terms of what are the costs looking like from a claims perspective. So the scheme will be able to say company A has claimed, the individuals have claimed so much. If you go over and above or you below what we calculate to say, you know, this is an acceptable rate, this is what we use as a basis to say, how do we then look at, we have over-insured people, because there's this notion that if you belong to a medical scheme, you need to take the top cover so that you get everything. But that is over insurance in our space. So we need to look at people that are paying for benefits that they're not utilizing. And we then have a different discussion to say, you do know that you have never utilized these benefits. If you were to drop down one or two options, you would be saving an X amount of money. That will be going back into your pocket. Or for me, the important part, that could be going into you saving for your future and putting it into other investments. So that is the important data that we use to analyze your scheme and the claiming patterns, and ultimately saying to the employer, you could save an X, but importantly, most importantly, your employees will also be saving at the same time. and let's look at other options in terms of what else can we bring into the table that could complement that, so that at any given point, when we downgrade you to a lesser option or a reasonable option or a medical insurance product, you don't run out of benefits, or you're not in a worse off position than you were when you were on a higher option.
Lesego Gampe, Executive Director of Corporate Advisory Services at ASI Financial Services, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Really appreciate it.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.